This music is building a sense of anticipation. Something's coming. But what's coming? I'll tell you what's coming. Star Trek Into Darkness. The new Star Trek movie will be opening in theaters on May 17th. It's a follow-up to the 2009 reboot of the original storyline and original characters of Star Trek from the 1960s. People are excited about this movie, and I'm excited that composer Michael Giacchino is joining me here on WQXR to share some of the music that he wrote for Star Trek Into Darkness. I'm David Garland. This is Movies on the Radio. Michael Giacchino, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
You've been involved in so many different projects since the early 2000s. For Pixar, you scored The Incredibles, Ratatouille, and you won an Oscar for your score for Up. And you've partnered with several different directors in a variety of projects, including J.J. Abrams, for whom you scored Mission Impossible 3 and the 2009 Star Trek film and Super 8, and shows on TV such as Alias and Lost. You've done short comedies and so much more. But then you told me back in December of 2011, when you were last on the program, that you were going to give yourself a break.
Yes.
And you took some time off. How was that? What did you do?
It was very nice. Although, you know, it's so funny when you say you're going to take a break, you always imagine that you'll just do nothing. But, you know, I have three kids, so it was just still a lot of work, still a lot of stuff going on, but just there was no movie work. So it was nice. It was nice just to kind of be dealing with the family for a while. And that lasted for almost a year. And it was actually fell on a great point, because all the directors that I work with, they were all in a position where they were prepping for their next movie. So it just all kind of, it worked out very nicely.
Did you make any music?
No, you know, it's an interesting thing. People say, you must do write every day, and do you make sure you do? And I'm like, no, actually, when I'm not working on a specific project, the last thing I usually want to do is come upstairs to the office and write. Uh-huh. You know, I'd rather do other things. I'd rather go and, you know, organize my garage, or, you know, clear out the back shed or something like that. All those things that sort of get pushed aside when you are too busy and you're working a lot. So,
yeah. Well, I'm glad you had a refreshing time.
Yeah.
And while you had that time off, the 15 CD set of all the music from the original Star Trek series was issued. Did you get that? I know you're a sort of film score geek.
Yes, I did get that. And it's amazing. You know, they are some amazing work that was done on that early series. And it was funny, after I got the set, it made me want to go back and start watching the old series again, too, which I hadn't done in several years. You know, I mean, I used to watch it with my son when he was really young, but then a bunch of years went by where I hadn't even turned it on. And after getting that set, it just made me want to go back and start watching again.
So did you watch more?
I did. Yep. Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, I just watched Amok Time the other night. One of my favorite ones.
A great one, yes.
Yes.
And of course, you scored the 2009 reboot of Star Trek, but did revisiting the music from that original series have any impact on how you approach scoring the new movie, Star Trek Into Darkness?
Well, you know, I actually didn't open that set until I was done scoring Into Darkness. Mm. I had it, and it was sitting here, and I didn't open it until it was done. But actually, there is a funny story. On my last day, when I was finished writing completely, and everything was off my desk, and the orchestrator was taking care of it, getting everything to the copyist, and getting it ready for our recording session, I thought to myself, I'm done. It's over. And then I got this message on Twitter from one of the followers who said, I hope you're including some of the music from the old series in the score. And I thought, no, why would I do that? I'm not going to do that. So I went downstairs and I'm thinking about it, and it just, I couldn't get it out of my head. I was like, and then I was like, oh man. So I went back upstairs to my office, turned everything back on, and I thought, you know what? He's right. I have to put something in there. So there's a theme that I always absolutely loved, and it's one of the very famous sort of fight themes. And I'm not going to be too specific about it, because we'll leave that up to the fans to locate it within the score. But I did. I went back, I opened it up, I erased about I don't know, 10 measures of this one cue that I was working on, and I replaced it with some utilizing that theme, and it was in this perfect spot to use it too. So I thought, why not? I should be doing that. So I did do that.
I hope it was a little bit of Gerald Fried's Music for Amok Time. That would be a good choice.
I am not going to say a word.
Why do you suppose we keep caring about Star Trek? I mean, I know the movie studios keep making movies for their reasons, but why do we keep watching these shows and want to revisit the original series and reinterpret those characters in the new movie?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think as far as the original series goes, there's a wonderful sort of nostalgia about that. And that was made at a time where so many people were hoping for the best out of the future, right? I mean, in the 50s and 60s, there was a time of great optimism of what we were going to do with all of this new found information and knowledge and technology. What were we going to do with it? And most of what we were going to do with it was good. It was all about what is the good we can do. You know, fast forward to the future, we never really got anywhere near that. But you can still look at Star Trek and see a group of characters, a group of people who are still feeling that way, who are still feel like the future is something to do good with. Mm. And I think, you know, if you look at the world today, it's very difficult to kind of take that point of view with so many terrible things going on. And for some reason at that time in the world, there was an easier way to look at that. And that's not to say that life was great back then either, because it certainly wasn't for everyone. But there was a really interesting optimism in how you looked to the future. And now our space shuttle program is done. We don't have any vehicles that really get our own people into space. We have to go through other countries and do this. It feels like the whole thing is kind of dismantling. And there are little bits and glimmers of hope here and there with little companies trying to spark new space race technology. But it's nothing compared to what it used to be.
Hmm. I guess in this new movie, Star Trek Into Darkness, the very title implies that any sense of optimism is going to be challenged in this story.
That's true. And it is a reflection of sort of the state of the world today. Hmm. You know, any optimism you have is completely challenged by outside forces, you know, and it's a real sort of look at what happens and how do you deal with those challenges. Well, you know, look into yourself and say, how am I going to move forward with this sort of environment in the world, and I think the movie does take a hard look at what is going on in the world today, which to me was really interesting, because it's one thing to sit here and just lament about how things used to be better, and it's a whole nother thing to actually take a hard look at the way things are and trying to figure out a new way to make them better.
I'm speaking with Michael Giacchino, composer of the music for the new forthcoming film Star Trek Into Darkness. When did you begin working on this score?
I began working on it around a little bit before Thanksgiving, actually, and I just finished it a couple of weeks ago. When I first sat down to work on this, I wanted to just kind of get an idea of what the whole picture was going to be. You know, the first film was a challenge for me because it was all about figuring out, all right, what is our version of Star Trek? I know what everyone else's version of Star Trek is, but what is our version? And it was hard to figure that out with all of this sort of baggage of what came before, you know, and so many wonderful things, including music and movies, have come out of the Star Trek world over the years. And there was just a great amount of pressure to figure out, okay, what is our version of that going to be? And how are we going to pay homage to that without sort of copying it either? Hmm. So having gone through that difficult creative phase, once I hit this movie, I felt like, okay, I was comfortable from the get-go because I knew our characters, I knew our world, I knew the tone that we had set for this from the last one. And for me, it was a much better jumping off point going into the new story. So I sat down, I watched bits and pieces of the film. I would go and watch them shoot the film. I love being on the set and just watching them work. I love watching JJ work. He's an amazing director to watch work because he's so focused and he knows exactly what he wants and he's in there and he has a great rapport with the actors and the set is a really sort of fun place to be when he's working. So I did a lot of that, and the first thing I sat down to write was for this character in the film. His name is John Harrison, and He's one of the main characters, a new character, and I was watching him work, and Benedict Cumberbatch, who plays John Harrison, and I don't know if you've seen Sherlock or any of the other things he's done.
Yeah, he's very interesting actor.
Yeah, he's fascinating. He's such a great, great sort of presence in a scene. And everything I got to build my, you know, sort of first foray into the new movie, it came out of his performances. You know, I watched it and I thought, wow, I really want to try and musically explain what this character is, who he is, what he wants, how he feels. I just wanted so much to be able to write a piece of music that reflected the inner workings of this guy's brain, you know? And that was the first sort of challenge for me, was to sit down and do that. And that was the first piece I wrote for the film, which has nothing to do with any of the themes that were developed before or anything. It's all new. So it was really fun to do that. And after writing it, looking at it, I felt like, wow, this really doesn't feel anything like the previous Star Trek at all. It felt new and different to me. And I played it for JJ and he was very happy with it. And we just used that as our jumping off point of where we're going to go with the rest of the score.
Great. I'm speaking with Michael Giacchino. He's in Los Angeles. I'm here in New York City. I'm David Garland. This is Movies on the Radio on Classical 105.9 FM WQXR. And Michael has generously supplied some tracks from his score for the forthcoming Star Trek Into Darkness. And we're going to start listening to some of that music. There is a piece you call Ode to Harrison, which perhaps includes some of these themes you were just speaking of. But let's begin at what seems to be the beginning. We've got a restatement of your Star Trek theme, which you created for the 2009 film. Mm-hmm. But that just comes briefly, and then we're into an action scene. And our listeners are probably impatient to hear some of that music. So let's dive in to Michael Giacchino's music for Star Trek Into Darkness. Thank you. That's music from the forthcoming Star Trek Into Darkness by my special guest Michael Giacchino. Pranking the Natives is the track that follows the sort of opening restatement of Giacchino's Star Trek theme. And we go right into some rhythm, hand percussion. Does this music have anything to do with that scene we see in the trailer with Kirk and someone else running through a red forest?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It does take place on the red planet. And for those, I don't know if anyone saw the opening prologue back. We showed it in front of The Hobbit, actually. If you went to see The Hobbit in IMAX in 3D, you got to see the first 9 minutes of our film. Mm-hmm. And that was way back in, you know, around Christmas time, I guess. And of course, you know, we recorded all of that and then came back and recorded it all again for the final thing because, you know, but between Christmas and, you know, February of this year, you know, a lot had changed in the film and things had gotten tighter and figured out better ways to present certain areas. So we went back and re-recorded those. So it's a little bit different than what you saw if you saw it in the theater, but the spirit is all still there. It's still essentially the same scene.
And what we heard was just now was the final version?
Yes, the final version. Yep.
All right. Our next track is called London Calling, and as is usual for your scores, Michael, you've got all sorts of puns in the title, so we've got a Clash reference here, though in fact the music doesn't have anything like that character. Instead, this is, I know you like to work in sort of a leitmotif approach where characters get different themes. This is a new theme, very clearly stated in this track. Whose theme is this?
Well, this is an interesting thing. So without giving away much of what the story is, this is an area of the film we wanted to feel like, you know, wait, am I still watching Star Trek? You know, the music didn't necessarily feel like music that you would find in a Star Trek film. Mm. But it's very important to the story of the film. And it's also a very sort of emotional aspect, which the whole film hinges on. So we definitely wanted it to be different. And I remember JJ saying that, you know, it should feel like suddenly you're not even in our movie anymore. It's like you're with these other people and other characters that you're not sure who they are. And likewise, the music should have a similar quality to it. So it was really fun to be able to actually try something slightly different for a Star Trek film. I don't know where you might picture this music being played, but I'm sure once you hear it, you'll make your own judgment on that. But it was, it's for a particular introduction to a character. I think that's the best way to say it without ruining
that's,
it. Without,
that's the most mysterious, you know, way to say
yes,
it.
Yes, it's interesting because it's like, you know, we work so hard to try and not give away all the secrets of the film beforehand. And in this day and age when most movies, they pretty much release whole sections of the film prior to the release of the movie. You know, there was something wonderful about being a kid and going to the movie theaters and just not knowing what you're going to get, you know, and the only thing you knew was the poster. You know, so based on that one sheet, you were taking a chance and going to see a film. And it was great because you were so, you know, it was a huge surprise. And it was a wonderful sort of joy to be able to just see something unfold in front of you that you had no idea what was going to happen next. And it's such a rare thing these days. So I know that JJ really believes in trying his best to make sure that if people want that experience, they're able to get it. You know, there are people who don't want that experience. There are people who would rather, you know, get as much information as they can beforehand for whatever reason. But I really think the most fun happens when you go into something and with no expectations and just see what happens. So, you know, that's you know, and we all believe that. And JJ's the one who spearheads that thing for us, too.
Did you happen to see this week's Mad Men episode?
No, not yet. Not yet. I haven't seen it.
There's a moment where a character is watching a movie and young character and his mind is blown by the movie. And it's a beautiful little scene. And it just kind of captures really well how that can happen in a movie theater.
It's so great when that happens. I love it. And I have such great memories of when I was a kid and I would go into the movies and I would see, you know, for the first time, Raiders of the Lost Ark. I had no idea what this thing was about. And being able to just go in and be told this crazy story and enjoy every second of it, that's a wonderful thing. And to be able to give that to somebody, hopefully, you know, that's what we're trying. For those who want it, that's what we're trying to do, is save that experience for them, because it is a special experience.
Great. Well, let's listen to this perhaps uncharacteristic track from Michael Giacchino's score for Star Trek Into Darkness. He calls it London Calling. London Calling from the brand new Star Trek Into Darkness soundtrack by my guest, Michael Giacchino. We're getting a preview of the score with the composer, giving us some introductions. It's a special edition of Movies on the Radio here on WQXR. You mentioned that Benedict Cumberbatch plays a character called John Harrison.
Yes.
Though his own name seems far more exotic than the character name.
Yes, it is true, isn't it?
And you created an ode to Harrison. That's what you call this track.
Yes.
We've got some subtle electronics going on here and some suspense moments and a little bit of sort of atonal washes going on. And then it gets really active and big. It's an exciting track. This was some of the music that you composed when you were inspired by Benedict Cumberbatch's performance?
Yes, this is the piece that I wrote after seeing some of the work he had done and understanding more of who his character was and sort of what his motivations were. I just really wanted to sit down and express that musically. You know, for me, it was all about, if you can listen to this piece of music, I hopefully you will walk away with sort of an understanding of a character, you know, and almost feel like you could step into their shoes when you're listening to it. I don't think it's the kind of character that you would want to be in real life yourself, but it is a sort of a safe way to kind of get a feeling for what it would be like to be someone like him.
Here's Ode to Harrison by my guest, Michael Giacchino. Music from the forthcoming Star Trek Into Darkness. Michael Giacchino is the composer, and he's here with me on Movies on the Radio from Los Angeles, and helping us to gain some kind of understanding and insight of this music without giving you any spoilers. So you're not going to tell me then that John Harrison is revealed to be Khan.
I am not going to say anything. I will say John Harrison is revealed to be John Harrison.
Okay. Well, he sounds like a compelling character after your musical portrait.
He is a very interesting guy, you know, and it's one of those things where, you know, we've all met people who have sort of this one track mind who are able to hyper focus on a goal or something that they want. And that's really all I wanted out of this, was just to feel like, yes, here's a guy who you start softly kind of entering his mind, and then little by little you see as he forms a goal, and then as he's going to get it, where the music kind of goes from there. So hopefully that comes across.
Great. We have more in just a moment here on 105.9 FM, WQXR and WQXR.org. I'm David Garland. This is Movies on the Radio here on WQXR. I have a special guest from Los Angeles, Michael Giacchino, composer of many film scores and for all the music for the TV show Lost and lots of other projects. And the latest is the movie that opens on May 17th, Star Trek Into Darkness. He's giving us a preview of his music for that movie tonight. And I mentioned before, Michael, that you like to give your tracks punning titles. This one is a particular favorite of mine, the Kronos Quartet. So
yes,
we've got kind of a Star Trek and Kronos Quartet mashup here somehow.
Well, it's very funny because, you know, my music editors and I, we sort of have this running game to see who can come up with the best title. And let's be fair, they're not all winners, but every once in a while we come up with a good one. And that particular one, Alex Levy, the lead music editor, he won the contest on that one.
Now, just judging from the title, I'm guessing that it has something to do with Klingons, because Kronos is apparently the name of the Klingon home planet, or
right.
Konos. And,
right.
And sometimes there's the Klingon warbirds. So do we have a quartet of Klingon warbirds in this scene?
Yes, well, it's safe to say, I think when you hear the music, you'll get a feeling for the type of scene it is. It's not really a love scene, although I suppose a Klingon love scene, some have said in the past that those are pretty rough too. So I don't know.
Now, there's some chanting in this, and, you know, it's not extraordinary in a film score to have sort of wordless chanting going on to heighten the drama. But I think maybe you set some Klingon to music here, did you?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because it wasn't a piece of music that was originally designed to have choir. And when we were recording it, we knew we had a choir coming in that night to take care of a couple other cues. And in talking with JJ about the piece, he was so excited about the action aspect of that music. And he said, oh my God, we should put the choir on there too and have them do something. And I'm like, yeah, we could do that. So literally within an hour's time, we prepared music for the choir to sing on that piece of music. And it was all about, you know, digging in and figuring out, okay, well, what are we going to put on this? We don't want to put just oohs and ahs. And once again, Alex Levy, my music editor, who is a huge Star Trek fan, huge, one of the biggest. He was like, well, of course you got to do Klingon. You got to use real Klingon. And I'm like, okay, who speaks Klingon? He goes, well, my wife does, and I sort of do. So I was like, okay, then I'm leaving this up to you to translate. So he sat down and took on the task of figuring out what it was they were going to say. And essentially it's, if you speak Klingon, I suppose you would understand it. But if not, it's you know, it's random herald insults and things that a Klingon might say to you know, an intruder of their planet. So,
all right. Well, let's hear this track. It's a lot of fun and very dynamic too. The Kronos Quartet from Michael Giacchino's score for Star Trek Into Darkness. Thank you. This is Movies on the Radio. I'm David Garland. My special guest, Michael Giacchino, is sharing with us some of his music for Star Trek Into Darkness. And we just heard the Kronos Wartet, a track that includes a little bit of the Klingon language, along with the orchestra and the electronics. Michael, I think your use of electronics in this score, now I haven't heard the whole score, you've supplied me with these 20 minutes worth of music, but I'm hearing pretty consistently a little touch of electronics in the music. Is that important to you?
Yeah, it was something on this that I wanted to do. I was always loved the way that Jerry Goldsmith would sort of incorporate various different textures, and whether they'd be either percussive or sometimes just flat out electronic things. He wasn't afraid to use those, and that always inspired me. And the story of this film really supported doing that. You know, and it's not a film score that's awash in electronics. They're sort of strategically used in very specific areas. I would say 90% of it is still mainly just the orchestra, but there are elements of it that are woven in between. And it's always a lot of fun to do that, to find those textures and find those ideas that can work with an orchestra that don't just seem like they're slapped on. The challenge is making it feel like they're one in the same with the orchestra as they're playing. So yeah, there's a bit of that in this film, which is not something I normally do a lot of in the, you know, at least not recently. So it was fun to kind of do that. It's a whole different part of your brain that has to be used when you're incorporating that kind of music.
Uh-huh. Well, it sounds nice. Adds an interesting dimension. And sometimes it's tonal, sometimes it's not. It creates a particular musical world for this film, it seems to me.
Great, thanks.
We've got one more track from your score, and this one's Ship to Ship. And in fact, this one uses less electronics than some of the others. It's an action cue, and there's an emphasis on the acoustic sounds of the orchestra, particularly on the strings in this track.
Yes, it's an interesting scene in the film in which two characters have to get themselves from point A to point B, and the way by which they do this is quite harrowing. And if you've seen any of the trailers, you might, you know, pick out glimpses of what it is they're attempting to do. But it needed to feel this just constant tension, you know, because the whole thing behind this scene is, are they going to make it? Are they going to make it? Are they actually going to make it? No, they're never going to make it. They're never going to. Well, maybe they will make it. Maybe they will. You know, it was like one of those kinds of scenes. And it is also a great scene because it's one of the things I love about Star Trek is the idea of these friends, this teamwork that has to be utilized. And I love that the films have these great undercurrents of friendship. You know, it's all about friendship, and it's all about what are you going to do for your friends, and how are you going to help them, and in return, how will they help you? And this great idea of trust, you know? And for me, like when people ask me, like, what are your favorite parts in the movie, I invariably always point to just like these little tiny moments where one character does something nice for the other, which helps them do something. Yes. You know, it's usually not about, you know, a ship crashing or some crazy action scene. I absolutely love the fact that these characters respect each other, and they're not always nice to each other either. I mean, it's like, you know, everyone has a family member that they love dearly, but they fight with, you know. It really has that real life sort of feeling to it. And for me, that's sort of one of these scenes. This is one of those scenes where, you know, friendship is the key to making it work. And it's quite fun.
Great. Well, here's Ship to Ship from Star Trek Into Darkness by my guest, Michael Giacchino. Thank you. Music from Star Trek Into Darkness here on Movies on the Radio on WQXR. I'm David Garland, and Michael Giacchino is my guest. We heard his track Ship to Ship from that forthcoming score. The movie opens in theaters on May 17th. And Michael, thank you so much for letting us hear this preview of your score for Star Trek Into Darkness.
The absolutely. I'm really happy to be able to do this.
Now, you have some upcoming projects that keep you in a science fiction world, different science fiction worlds. You've worked before with the Wachowskis on Speed Racer, and you'll be scoring their Jupiter Ascending. Is that so?
Yes, that's correct. It's interesting, actually, on that film where you know, they're shooting that right now, and I've been writing music for them. And, you know, they're fascinating, fascinating people. Two of the nicest people you will ever meet in your life. And I just adore working with them. And they're very interested in writing the music before they cut the movie. Because they want, rather than use just temp music or some other score that was already existing for some other film, what they would love to do is actually write the music ahead of time and use that to temp their movie. Use that as the music that's going to be there when they're editing and figuring it all out. Because I guess their idea is, well, why wouldn't you do that? I mean, that's the movie that's going to be there ultimately anyway. And what's the point of getting stuck on some piece of temp music that may or may not be working perfectly when you can actually use the music that's going to be in your film to begin with? So it's a really different way of doing things than the way you normally do it here. But I think it's been great for me just as a composer to sort of explore all these areas as they're exploring the film themselves and figuring out what it's going to be. It's an incredible chance to be a part of a team very early on, which usually you're brought in very late in the process.
Yeah. Well, that's Jupiter Ascending, due to be released next summer.
Yes.
And I was intrigued to see that Disney, which, you know, has already turned one of their rides, the Pirates of the Caribbean, into a movie franchise, they're going to go to Tomorrowland.
Yes, and you couldn't have a better director to take them there than Brad Bird. You know, I've been very lucky to work with directors who I respect immensely, not just as artists, but also as human beings. These are like really nice people. And it started this rule years ago for me, which was, I only want to work with people that I actually like, you know? And I've been so lucky to be able to do that between JJ and Brad and the Wachowskis and numerous other, Matt Reeves, who I've worked with several times. These are people that I love and I consider friends. And to me, the friendship is far more important than the work itself. But to be able to put two together, it's like a great gift that I'm always amazed that I'm able to be a part of.
I'm intrigued by Tomorrowland. It will be directed by Brad Bird, and George Clooney and Hugh Laurie are in it. Is that right?
That's correct. And the script was also written, co-written with Damon Lindelof, who was one of the creators on Lost and someone I've worked with for six seasons of that show. And again, another guy who is, to me, one of the most talented people out there, just a wonderful storyteller. So it's a fun to see my friends sort of like getting together and working on different things, and we all get to do this. But I'm excited for that. And you know, the other thing that's great about Tomorrowland is, you know, there are a lot of wonderful franchises being put out into the world, and we're, you know, get to be a part of them, and that continues. But what I like about this, it's an original idea being put out into the world, you know, in the same way that Jupiter Ascending, another original idea being put out into the world. And I think the more we have of that, the better off we will be. It's not that I don't want to see Captain America. I definitely want to see Captain America and all this other stuff. But I also want to see new ideas out there. And it's great to see the Wachowskis and Brad being able to kind of push new things out into the world as well.
Great. But there is one other franchise with some very familiar characters and storylines that will be followed up on in a year or two, and that is Star Wars Episode 7.
Now, yes.
Your friend J.J. Abrams is going to be directing.
Yes.
And you've worked with him many times. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us if you'll be working on Star Wars?
You know, it's interesting. We've talked about this a lot, J.J. and I, and one of the things for me that is the most exciting aspect of this whole idea of bringing Star Wars back to the screen is the idea that, you know, I grew up listening to John Williams' music for those movies. And it was one of the big things that inspired me to do what I'm doing today. You know, his music from Star Wars, that first double album set, was such a touchstone for me as a way of pushing me towards, you know, my future.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I'm most excited about is just being able to hear more of his music for Star Wars. So it would be my hope that he would continue and he would do it again, you know, and then I would be able to just happily watch from the sidelines. John has been such a great inspiration to me over the years. He's been a good friend and he's been a great teacher to me. So to be able to watch him do more, that's what I'm hoping for, you know. And if they need help, I'm there. But my first wish is to see him do it and really bring something great out of it. Because I know JJ is going to make a great movie. I know he's going to do something really fun and completely in the spirit of what Star Wars is and should be. So for me, it's just, I'm just excited that it's all happening.
All right. But if John Williams chooses not to, will you be willing or perhaps crazy excited to try it yourself?
Well, if you could see my office right now, it's loaded with Star Wars action figures from my youth. And there's lightsabers against the wall and a Darth Vader helmet over there. And there's plenty of things that would probably answer that question just without me even saying anything. So... So yes, of course. But again, you know, to be able to hear what he's going to bring, I am truly excited about that.
Oh, great. Michael Giacchino, thank you very much for visiting with us again here on Movies on the Radio. I'm looking forward to Star Trek Into Darkness and really glad to get this preview.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great to talk to you again.
Great. Listeners, go to WQXR.org to find the page for tonight's Movies on the Radio. There you can leave a comment, and that's where the show will be archived for the next few weeks, so you can like it on Facebook and share it with your friends. Now here's a treat. Michael's main title theme for Star Trek Into Darkness. We'll be right back.
Thank you.